Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of our sermon is a gospel lesson as we continue this new church year, our gospel lessons from St. Matthew. This morning we read in chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. In those days John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near, has come near. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.' John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, "We have Abraham as our father." I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." This is God's word. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Advent King, dear friends, have you ever wondered how John the Baptist would fare today? Picture Isaiah's voice of one calling in the wilderness, standing along the banks of the White River, or along the banks of Williams Creek across the street. We would hear John the Baptist there preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." Crowds from the metropolitan area and from Carmel would come out to hear him, to receive his baptism, confessing their sins. Others would come out only to have him affirm their self-righteousness, to have him affirm their holiness in their keeping of the law. John would call them all to repentance, because John would want all of them to escape being burned in God's unquenchable fire. We can picture that all we want, but we're not going to see it, because we have taken John's place. You and I are on the banks of the White River. You and I are a little more close to home on the banks of Williams Creek. We preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." We preach so that the crowds might come to us and prepare for Jesus' coming. We are here to call even the self-righteous, even those who trust in their own works and attitudes, to give those up and to believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, so that they are prepared for the day that Jesus comes again to judge the living and the dead. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Eliminate the curves of sin. Eliminate the hurdles of self-righteousness in our hearts as our Savior Jesus brings about His advent. Repentance is the right preparation. Well, see, first of all, that repentance is the only way to prepare for Christ's coming. And secondly, that repentance is the only proper preparation for the coming judgment. Last Wednesday, in our first midweek Advent service in the Gospel lesson, we heard St. Luke's account of the announcement of the coming birth, the miraculous birth of John the Baptist to Zechariah and to Elizabeth. Even before he was born, God filled Jesus' cousin's heart with the Holy Spirit for his one purpose in life when he would grow up. And that was to be Jesus' forerunner. Think of a herald who goes out in front of his king and his king's procession to announce that king is approaching and that king will soon arrive. That's why John the Baptist was conceived and born. It's why God kept him as he grew up. And it's why now on this time and place we discover him fulfilling his life's mission. We find him there along the banks of the Jordan River, preaching repentance, baptizing for repentance, calling all sinners to get ready to meet Jesus. Repentance is the right preparation. It's the only way to prepare for Christ's coming. When those crowds came out from Jerusalem and from all the areas of Judea and the regions around the Jordan, John the Baptist did not hesitate to hold up before their eyes the mirror of their broken commandments in the law. John didn't hesitate to show them, as he shows us, that we are guilty every minute of our lives of not loving God perfectly and not perfectly loving that person sitting next to you in the pew. We have not loved him. We have not loved one another the way that he has commanded us to do that. We have missed the mark of perfection. And because of that, our sins have separated us from God. Our sins have condemned us to eternal damnation in hell because we have disobeyed the law. To recognize this fact was why John preached the first part of repentance, which is contrition. Why John preached the law, so that these people would see and recognize their sinful, lost condition, and so would we. Contrition is the recognition that I have broken God's law and that law condemns me because I've broken it. Contrition leads to confession. Confession is no longer making excuses. It's no longer blaming somebody else. It's no longer saying, well, I try. Confession is admitting those sins to God and acknowledging that punishment that we deserve. Have you ever thought what the real essence of the word confession means? It means agreement. You know, we confess our faith in the words of the creeds, which means we agree with what the apostles taught. But confession of sins means I'm saying to God, I agree with his judgment. I agree with your judgment under the law, God. I agree that I have broken the commandments, and I agree that that has offended you so mightily that you are going to send me away from you forever and ever. And so I'm acknowledging that to you. I'm admitting that freely to you. And that's what the people did when John the Baptist showed them their sins. And then John showed them and told them, the kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of God is coming. The kingdom of God is the gracious rule of forgiveness by Jesus Christ in our hearts. It's that rule of Christ by which he comes into our hearts and which we live under his authority. We live under his will, but most of all, we live under his love, knowing that he has washed away all of our sins with his holy blood, knowing that he is our Savior. And so we also confess our faith. We say to God, we agree that Jesus is our Savior from sin. That was John the Baptist preaching of repentance. Prepare the way for the Lord. The kingdom of God is near. That is how you and I prepare for Jesus' advents. Remember those three advents? He comes into Bethlehem. He comes through the preaching of the gospel. And he will come again to judge the living and the dead. Repentance is the only way. It's the proper way to prepare for Jesus' coming. I am a sinner, but God has given me a righteousness from God apart from the law. The kingdom of God is in my heart. It's ruling my heart. At one time, I had no hope of the better kingdom of glory with God in heaven. I had only the looking ahead to eternal separation from God. But now, because of Jesus, because of the righteousness of Christ that is mine, then I have now that assurance of the forgiveness of all my sins and that hope of eternity in heaven. That love of God in the kingdom has created in me a clean heart. It has renewed a right spirit within me. And I ask God and trust that he will never cast me away from his presence. And so I approach him fearlessly. I approach him as dear children approach their dear father. Repentance is the right preparation. Repentance is contrition and it is faith. This repentance is what you and I do daily as Christians. It really is the condition under which we live every day. We are those who acknowledge our sins to God. We feel the guilt and know the guilt of our sins. We live in a constant state of forgiveness that we have in the blood of Christ. This daily repentance, which is the life we live as the children of God, is the way to prepare for Christmas. It's the way we get ready to hear the law and the gospel. It is the way we are ready for the coming judgment. Repentance is the only preparation to be ready for the coming judgment. John the Baptist preached God's judgment, particularly to some different people who came out there along the banks of the Jordan. The Pharisees, who trusted in their own righteousness, who trusted in their outward obedience of the law, who trusted that, hey, we're Abraham's children, we're good with God. And then there were the Sadducees, didn't believe in souls, didn't believe in spirit kingdom, didn't believe in the resurrection. The Sadducees were the rationalists, the humanists of their day. So these Pharisees and these Sadducees had heard what John the Baptist was doing, so they went out there to see what was going on along the banks of the Jordan. They went out to find out why all the crowds were going out there. The one thing they didn't go out there for was to listen. The one thing they didn't go out there for was to have their minds changed by God's word, which is what the word conversion means, to have a change of mind. They went out, rather, to begin their opposition to God's word, to begin their opposition that would manifest itself later, after Jesus revealed himself, or rather, after the Father and the Holy Spirit revealed Jesus as the Messiah at his holy baptism. And John recognized that. He recognized their hypocrisy, and he called them, "You brood of vipers. You snakes in the grass. You've only come to destroy my work." Just like Satan took the form of a serpent and destroyed the perfection that God had you created humanity and the earth when he created it. You haven't come to listen. And then John said, well, I'll tell you what, produce fruits in keeping with repentance. Show some things that really flow from your faith in God's promise of the Savior. But don't think, and I know you're thinking this, we are Abraham's children. God could take these stones and make children for Abraham. But see, I want you to see that the works that you're producing now, they're not fruits of faith. They're only the outer shell, the shell of hypocrisy. They're the outward keeping of the law. And your heart is far, far away from God. But John called them to repentance too, even though they didn't listen. Even though they chose to remain in their self-righteousness and in their humanistic rationalism. John told them, I'm out here and I'm preaching repentance and I'm baptizing for repentance. John the Baptist's baptism was preparatory for the revelation of Jesus as the Savior. It's the same baptism that we have today. It's a means of grace that creates faith and it sustains faith. But John said, there's one coming after I'm doing this, after God commanded me to do this, Jesus, who's going to come. Jesus, the Bible never says that Jesus ever baptized anybody in water baptism. But John said that this Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. When Jesus preached, he would pour out the Holy Spirit into hearts, and those hearts would believe. For those hearts who didn't believe, Jesus' word would also pour out fire. It would pour out judgment against their unbelief. Jesus is not only a loving God. Jesus is also a judging God. Jesus is like that farmer who, after the wheat harvest, puts his winnowing fork in his hand and scoops up the harvest and threw it up into the wind. And the good grain, the good kernels of wheat, would fall to the threshing floor and would be gathered up to be stored. But when he did that, the chaff, the wind would blow that chaff to the side. And then the farmer and his helpers would gather up that chaff and they would burn it. This is a picture of Judgment Day, of Jesus separating the wheat, those who are repentant, and the chaff, those who are not repentant but continue in their unbelief. In just a short time, John would baptize Jesus. The Father and the Spirit would reveal Jesus in his baptism as the Savior. John would continue to decrease until Herod had him beheaded in prison. John would fade out of the picture more and more. John would be the last Old Testament prophet who was the forerunner of the Savior. Jesus is coming to be born in Bethlehem as we celebrate again. He comes to us. He's coming to us right now in God's Word. Jesus is coming again to judge the living and the dead. Repentance is the only way to prepare for the coming judgment. We're the ones, you and I, who have that message today. No, we're not dressed in camel's hair with a leather belt around our waist. No, our diet isn't locusts and wild honey. But the thing we have in common is the message. The message from God. The only message that really prepares us for Christmas. That really prepares us to hear God's Word. That really prepares us for the end. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Today, the axe is at the tree. And every tree that does not bear fruit will be cut down and burned in the fire. Produce fruits in keeping with your repentance. Amen.